From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Theater Lawrence, presenting the Rocky Horror Picture Show, showing October 23rd through October 25th. Details at theaterlawrence.com.
It's 75 degrees in Lawrence, 75 in Topeka, 78 in Manhattan. The time is 6:06. Listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from 715 Restaurant at 715 Massachusetts Street in downtown Lawrence, open Tuesday through Saturday at 3 p.m. till late. More at 715mass.com.
Thanks for spending part of your day with us here at KPR. Coming up in our next few minutes, we'll talk about the indictment handed down today for Letitia James. Tish James of New York. How did this come about? What did the grand jury hear? What did they choose to indict on? We'll also talk about the high cost of pet care. We'll get you an update of news headlines. Plenty more All Things Considered still to come. We're with you till 7 o'clock.
Become a KPR sponsor and your business can harness the trust and credibility of public radio. 82% of listeners take action because of an announcement heard on NPR. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
KPR's own spirited classical evening show host Destiny Ann Mermagan appeared recently in a Doreen Morand professional recital along with her husband Michael, who teaches cello at UMKC. The official accompanist and concert pianist of Park University came along for the ride with fruitful combinations of violin, cello, and piano by Beethoven and Tchaikovsky. Oodles of Destiny coming up tonight on your KPR1 stations following All Things Considered. It's 75 degrees in Lawrence, 78 in Manhattan, 74 in Atchison. It is 6:20.
Bring you the latest developments on the deal tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition, getting you caught up on the very latest news first thing in the morning.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering the New York Times and Washington Post online, Ancestry.com, and more. All available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Hope you'll stay tuned. News headlines are coming up next. It's 75 degrees in Topeka, 80 in Abilene. It is 6:30.
With the state of Oregon and city of Portland acknowledged occasional violence at some ice building protests, but argued that sending in the military is an overreach of executive power. For NPR News, I'm Conrad Wilson in Portland.
Meanwhile, a judge has also blocked the administration from deploying National Guard troops to the Chicago area for now. Stocks finished lower on Wall Street today. This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Kansas Representative Sharice Davids is asking Republicans to negotiate to end the government shutdown. Before Democrats sign off on the funding bill to reopen the government, they want to ensure the extension of health care tax credits. Davids said her top priority is reopening the government, but she said Kansans cannot handle rising health care costs.
If Congress doesn't act, premiums could rise for folks by as much as 70%. That's 70%. That is unacceptable.
She said more than 160,000 Kansans relied on those health care tax credits last year. Republican Kansas Senator Roger Marshall has said the government funding extension should not have any other issues attached to it. Court documents say a Wyandotte County Sheriff's deputy kept his knee on an inmate's back for about a minute and a half before the man died. As Dylan Lyson reports, the documents offer a timeline leading to Charles Adair's death.
The affidavit says Deputy Richard Fatherly kept his knee on Adair's back while other deputies tried to subdue him in his cell. Adair was face down on the cell's bunk and eventually moved his hands towards a deputy who removed his handcuffs. Fatherly then kept his weight on Adair's back as the other deputies left the cell. The affidavit says Adair did not move again and was pronounced dead after a nurse checked on him. Prosecutors have charged Fatherly with second-degree murder. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Dylan Lyson in Overland Park.
Women entering the Wyandotte County Courthouse say their underwire bras are triggering hypersensitive metal detectors. Peggy Lowe reports that it's being called Bragate 2.
Not only are the bras triggering security, but women are allowed into the building only after a female deputy does an aggressive pat-down. Attorney Nicole Forsyth says she noticed that change starting in the fall of 2023. She calls the thorough pat-downs humiliating.
And so if you're female, lawyer, witness, any sort of professional coming into this building to work, you have to get felt up, basically.
Forsyth is calling this Bragate 2 because there was a similar situation in Jackson County in 2019. The Wyandotte County Sheriff's Office defends the security, saying they are trying to keep the courthouse safe. I'm Peggy Lowe.
The time is 6:35. This is KPR.
Support for NPR comes from...
Plus, pop icon Susanna Hoffs didn't just buy a house. She reimagined a spec home into a sanctuary. That's this week on This Old House Radio Hour. Sunday morning at 10 on Kansas Public Radio.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence as well, many other frequencies too, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute. Dr. Barbara Ballard and Student Advisory Board alum Jesse Burbank moderate healthcare in the U.S. Constitution. With Harvard Law's I. Glenn Cohen, October 15th, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Thanks for tuning in. Still have about 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're joining us on KPR One stations, up next we have Classics Live. Destiny Ammer Megan is featured, along with her husband, along with a pianist at Park University. That is followed by an hour of Destiny with selections for you from the KPR library. If you're joining us on KPR 2, up next is KPR Presents, followed by The Middle with Jeremy Hobson.
Support for KPR comes from KJHK and their 50th birthday celebration featuring American jazz-influenced indie rock musician Mae Simonez at the Granada, October 16th. Doors open 7 p.m., show at 8 p.m. Tickets at Granada.com.
40% chance of showers and storms late tonight, lows in the upper 50s. Slight chance of rain in the morning, but then mostly sunny tomorrow with highs in the lower 80s. It's 10 minutes before 7.
From NPR News, Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. From the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio, and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
Israel and Hamas agreed to the first phase of a ceasefire deal that could go into effect as soon as Friday. We'll follow the developments tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning Edition is what you will hear, getting you caught up on all the latest news from all around the world, all around the nation, and all around the region.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Up next, we have Classics Live, followed by Evening Classical with Destiny. You're going to hear a lot of Destiny here in the next few hours on KPR, which is a good thing. On Evening Classical, tonight's Tango Thursday. Also, we'll hear some Rodrigo and a little bit of viola music. And I think Destiny might have some viola jokes for you. It's all coming up on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
We're live, we're local, we're Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, 91.3, KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Heading for a low in the upper 50s tonight with a 40% chance of rain after midnight. It's 7:01.
Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Cordelia Brown, your plus one here in the audience of the Polsky Theater in the Midwest Trust Center at Johnson County Community College. This will be a Beethoven Tchaikovsky Rule Joyce recital with KPR's own Destiny Ann Mermagan, violin of prairieclassical.org. Her husband, Mike Mermagan, who teaches cello at UMKC and Park University's concert pianist and teacher of collaborative piano, Lolita Lisovskaya-Seovich. Destiny's starting off by thanking Doreen Marande for her work putting this recital series together and congratulating Doreen on now having the Rule Joyce programs renamed as the Doreen Marande Professional Recital Series.
Hello. Humans, yay! So nice to see you all here. Thank you for being here. We as performers love actually playing for real people. So it means a lot to us that you're here. And we are so excited to be sharing in this exciting news for Doreen. She is such a gem, don't you think? Yes. I'm very, very excited. Our very first piece of music that we are playing for you is Beethoven Trio, Opus 1, Number 3. Did I get that right? Yes. Okay. I should. I work on the radio, so if I screw up, my boss will hear about it. This is a really interesting trio. He composed it with a set of three, and the last trio, Haydn was his teacher, and Haydn was not a fan of Beethoven's last trio of the set, but Beethoven, being Beethoven, published it anyways, because he was a stinker. And so this particular trio is very intriguing. The opening, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about it so you know what to listen for. The opening, the three of us have the same seven notes in unison, meaning we all play the same note. But then Beethoven, being the ever trickster, he repeats that figure but moves it up just a half step. So it's like, whoo, it's really spooky. And it ends very, you might think it's the end of the concert at the end of this movement, but it's not. Then the slower movement, the second movement, is very beautiful and lyrical, and I think you'll really enjoy it. You could even put the word charming with Beethoven, which is amazing. The third movement, you might feel a little unsettled, and that's normal. We do too, because Beethoven was really playing around with the rhythms and the meters, and so it's not what you expect, and I think he was probably trying to tick his teacher Haydn off by doing it. The last movement is very virtuosic, and Lolita is an amazing pianist, so I am so excited that you get to hear this. The ending is unlike anything I am used to with Beethoven. It's in a minor key, the whole trio, which means it's dark and stormy, but the ending, it ends in a major key, in a happy key, and it's very soft, and you're just left feeling very unresolved. And Mike mentioned that perhaps Beethoven was trying to play a trick on the audience, so I know you guys won't fall for it, though. Enjoy.
Thank you. That's the surprise ending. great stuff. Actually, I was just realizing backstage that a lot of the old programs from even 100 years ago have been formed this way, with a major piece as the opener and then a bunch of short pieces or salon music for the rest of the concert. And that's kind of the model of this one. I don't know how it happened, but we just have a lot of short pieces that we're going to play for you now. So it says Tchaikovsky Valse Sentimentale is next, but I think what we'll do is we'll do that, and then we're going to do a Kreisler piece, and then we're going to do the second cello Tchaikovsky piece, and then we'll close with another Kreisler piece.
So you don't get too sick of one of us.
I thought it'd be a nice way to mix it up. But anyway, these pieces, the two cello pieces, are transcriptions from solo piano works. And apparently in the late 1880s, they were extremely popular. And when I read that, I wonder if that means Taylor Swift popular, or I don't know. I'm not sure what that means, but extremely popular, yeah, it must have been really well known by all audience members. And anyway, a cellist from the Moscow Conservatory, his name was William Fitzenhagen. He's actually responsible for the version of the Rococo variations that we have today. Tchaikovsky wrote a different order of variations, and one of them even slightly different than what is performed today. What's performed today is actually Fitzenhagen's arrangement. And originally Tchaikovsky was not very happy about that, but then he gave in eventually, because everybody plays it that way, is what he said. And so he gave the publishers permission to publish it in the order that Fitzenhagen performed it. So these arrangements are also from Fitzenhagen, the piano cello arrangements. For, I think, the Nocturne, Tchaikovsky also arranged it for orchestra and cello after the Fitzenhagen arrangement. So cellists apparently really like this music, and I remember hearing it from my teacher's album after he won the silver medal in the Tchaikovsky competition. He did an album in 1968, which included these two Tchaikovsky pieces. So that's why I chose them. They're something I used to listen to frequently when I was studying cello.
Very dramatic. Well, I have a couple of short pieces. I am going to play one of them, the first that is mentioned there, Liebeslied, and that means love's sorrow. Kreisler was a violinist himself with a very unique sound, and thankfully there are still a few recordings left of him playing. So if you want to hear a really different kind of sounding violinist who sounds like the human voice and sometimes like a cat meowing, but in the best way, I highly recommend, really, I have a lot of cats, I like cats. I highly recommend checking out Kreisler and try to find the original recordings of him playing. They're fantastic. So this first one, Liebeslied, Love's Sorrow, will be followed by Mike playing his Nocturne, and then I will get back up here and play for you Schön Rosmarin, which means fair rosemary. And if you clap really well and you like us, we have a special encore for you. Thank you.
something happy now that you're all thoroughly depressed.
Audience, it sounds like you want an encore. Thank you. We are going to play for you a tango, but first, I think Doreen deserves another round of applause for being such a gem to this city. We are so lucky to have her for running this series. We are very grateful to be here to share in this, and stick around and say hi to us afterwards. We're real people. We like talking to people. We don't get out much. We just sit at home and practice. A tango. It is one of the most famous of all time, Oblivion by Astor Piazzolla.
Yes, Destiny?
Yes?
I forgot to mention, there's a reception afterward that you're all invited to.
There's a reception afterwards. That's fantastic. Then we'll definitely be there.
Thank you. With pianist Lolita Lisovskaya-Sejovic from the Park University International Center for Music, and the Mermaidens. Destiny Ann Mermaidin is the violinist and Kansas Public Radio's own classical music host. Her husband and music partner Mike Mermaidin is the cello professor at the University of Missouri's Conservatory of Music in Kansas City. This has been part of the Rule Joyce Doreen Marande professional recital series that Johnson County Community College hosts each spring and fall semester. It's a series of free noon-hour concerts held sometimes on Mondays, open to all students, staff, and to the public. Check jccc.edu for the latest schedule. Brought to you by KPR's weekly radio series Classics Live, which aims to bring you the best live and local classical concerts in the area. Chuck Smith was our recording engineer, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. Kansas City pianist Poe Sim Head played that suite by Roberto Carpio Valdez. Recorded in our live performance studio on June 9th, 2023. This has been Classics Live on KPR, Kansas Public Radio. Support for Classics Live comes from the KU School of Music, presenting Dark Side of Oz, with jazz students blending the music of Pink Floyd alongside reimagined images from The Wizard of Oz at Liberty Hall Wednesday, October 29th. Tickets at libertyhall.net. And from the Dole Institute, Dr. Barbara Ballard and the Student Advisory Board alum Jesse Burbank moderate Healthcare in the U.S. Constitution with Harvard Law's I. Glenn Cohen on October 15th at 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org. And from KJHK, celebrating their 50th birthday with a local music festival in Lawrence, with Lawrence bands from across the decades performing at 7 venues, Friday, October 17th and Saturday, October 18th. Tickets at Granada.com. This is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, from the University of Kansas.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A federal judge has blocked President Trump from deploying the National Guard to Chicago for 2 weeks. Also today, a federal appeals court heard arguments over a ruling that temporarily blocked Trump from sending the Guard to Portland. The administration has mobilized troops amid immigration crackdowns in the cities. It says National Guard is necessary to protect ICE agents and federal property. 200 U.S. troops will be heading to Israel to help monitor and implement the Gaza ceasefire. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports the troops will not be on the ground in the Gaza Strip.
U.S. troops with expertise in logistics will set up a civilian military coordination center in Israel to help with the expected flood of humanitarian aid into Gaza. The narrow strip of land has been subjected to intense bombardment for 2 years as the Israeli army sought to eliminate Hamas after the October 7th surprise attack on Israel. That initial attack killed more than 1,200 people, mostly Israeli civilians. The ensuing war has killed more than 67,000 Palestinians, according to Gaza's health ministry, also mostly civilians. In a social media post, the White House says troops under U.S. Central Command would coordinate with other nations in the region that will create an international stabilization force in Gaza, as outlined in President Trump's peace plan. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
Israeli hostages and Palestinian prisoners may start going home within a few days as an initial step of the peace agreement. There have been ceasefires between Israel and Hamas before. NPR's Greg Myrie explains why this one might be different.
Trump put a lot more pressure on the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, more than he did when there was a ceasefire in January that collapsed, much more than President Biden did during his final year in office. Trump got Netanyahu to agree publicly to this deal, and then they put the pressure on Hamas. There was a lot of international support, particularly from Arab states like Egypt and Qatar, who work with Hamas. And the Israeli and Palestinian publics were just exhausted. There's strong majorities and on both sides who wanted this war to end.
NPR's Greg Myrie reporting. A shortage of air traffic control staff is delaying flights across the country during the government shutdown. NPR's Joel Rose reports flights into Newark, New Jersey are facing lengthy delays today.
The Federal Aviation Administration says flights into Newark Liberty International Airport are delayed once again because of a staffing shortage. The FAA has issued ground delays for multiple airports this week, including Nashville, Chicago O'Hare, Burbank, and more, in order to keep the skies safe. Nearly 11,000 certified air traffic controllers are required to work during the government shutdown, but don't get paid until it ends. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says there's been a noticeable uptick in the number of air traffic controllers calling out sick and suggested the government could fire controllers who don't come to work. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
Wall Street took a slight dip today. The S&P 500 fell 0.3%. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Doris Duke Foundation, which aims to support the well-being of people and the planet for a more creative, equitable, and sustainable future. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 9th. The moon barrels through the Pleiades star cluster this evening. It'll pass directly in front of the cluster, briefly blocking most of its stars from view. The Pleiades is the most famous of all star clusters. It's also known as the Seven Sisters but under dark skies, with no moon in the way, you might actually see 9 stars or more. But that's only the beginning. The cluster contains more than 1,000 stars. In fact, it was the first cluster to be recognized as a cluster, a group that's moving through the galaxy together. That recognition came in 1767. John Michell, a clergyman and scientist, was looking at several tightly packed groups of stars. He studied the Pleiades in the greatest detail, and he calculated that there was only a 1 in 500,000 chance that the grouping could be random. Instead, something had to be holding the stars together. His idea was confirmed when astronomers measured the motions of the cluster's stars. They're all moving in the same direction and at the same speed. Today, we know that's because they were born together from a single giant complex of dust and gas. They're bound to each other by their mutual gravitational pull, but they won't stay together. The cluster is being pulled apart by the gravity of the rest of the galaxy. So the Pleiades probably will dissipate in about 250 million years, with its member stars going their own way. We have more skywatching tips and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Isaac Albéniz, España No. 2, Tango, here on KPR with Leif Uwe Antunes playing the piano. Hi there, I'm Destiny and it's Tango Thursday, and I've got a great guitar concerto coming up in about half an hour. I hope you all are having a fantastic Thursday. It's almost Friday, which means it's almost the weekend, which means you need to let me know what to play for you on my show on Saturday, Classics by Request, 1 to 4. Just go to kansaspublicradio.org, our website, and find the shows tab and find that show, and you can let me know. Well, I play a lot of music for the violin since I am a violinist, but I also love and occasionally dabble with the viola. It's very similar to the violin. It just has a much lower string, not that really squeaky one that the violin has. And this recording is a pretty great one. It's with Yuri Bashmet on viola, and I actually was outside of his office in Moscow, Russia over, gosh, 13 or 14 years ago when I went there to play a concert and make a recording that never made its way to America. Anyways, that's another story for another day. Yuri Bashmet is a great violist, and he is playing Walton's Viola Concerto, Sir William Walton. And this is with the London Symphony Orchestra and Andre Previn. It is the viola in fine, fiery form right now on KPR.
Thank you.
Woohoo! Dramatic viola concerto here on KPR, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.9 Atchison. Wow. Yuri Bashmet on the viola with the London Symphony Orchestra and Andre Previn. Sir William Walton, the viola concerto. One needs quite a bit of technique to play that. Hope you liked it. I love listening to the viola. It's so pretty and soulful. Hey, our sponsors are soulful because they keep us on the air. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Lead Center, welcoming the Imagination Movers, the children's music group, as seen on Disney Plus, Saturday, October 18th at 2 p.m. Tickets are available at lead.ku.edu. And one more thing to tell you about, Friday night, October 24th, meet me. Yes, yours truly. I play the violin and the radio. And I'm playing a live, free concert of spooky tunes as part of KPR's Live Day, 7 p.m. at the Lawrence Public Library. It's free. Just RSVP, because a lot of people end up showing up and you want to save your seat. KansasPublicRadio.org. All right, in honor of Tango Thursday, I thought we would close out the last 20 minutes of this hour with Joaquin Rodrigo's Concerto de Aranjuez. It is a favorite. This recording features Daniel Barenboim with the English Chamber Orchestra and John Williams on guitar. Right now on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
Concierto de Aranjuez here on KPR with John Williams there on the guitar. I'm Destiny. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. It's always a blast. Jazz in the Night up next after NPR News, and I will see you soon on KPR.
Get caught up.
We are learning new information this morning about the lengthy...
Take a step back.
All right, what's really going on here?
And prepare for what's ahead.
Are you expecting a breakthrough this week?
Stay on top of the news with Morning Edition from NPR News every weekday.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays from 5 to 9 a.m. on KPR. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. And support for classical music on KPR comes from Spider Art Constructors, offering foundation repair for leaky basements, cracks, leaning walls, and waterproofing. More info on home preservation is at Spider, that's Spider with a Y, spiderartconstructors.com. And Love Garden Sounds, a vinyl record and CD store sponsoring the Vinyl Vault Hour on Jazz in the Night. Store details and buying policies at lovegardensounds.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A federal judge in Chicago has temporarily blocked the National Guard from being deployed in Illinois. NPR's Sergio Martinez-Beltran reports.
Federal Judge April Perry says deploying National Guard troops in Illinois would only add fuel to the fire. Under her ruling, the National Guard of the U.S. cannot be deployed within the state. The block will be in effect for 14 days. An appeal by the Trump administration is almost guaranteed. The Trump administration has said the National Guard is needed to protect an immigration processing facility outside of Chicago and protect ICE agents as they conduct arrests. Trump has said Chicago is a war zone, but protests have mostly been peaceful. And Judge Perry says the narrative of events presented by the Department of Homeland Security is, quote, simply unreliable. Sergio Martinez Beltran, NPR News, Chicago.
Israel and Hamas have agreed to a pause in their devastating two-year war. Hamas will release remaining hostages in exchange for Israel releasing prisoners. Uncertainty remains about some aspects of the U.S.-brokered peace plan, but as NPR's Daniel Estrin explains, ending the war appears closer than ever.
We've seen ceasefire efforts fall through again and again. We've seen how Hamas has fought till the last man, no matter how many civilians were killed and how much Gaza was destroyed. We have seen Israel's leadership thwart ceasefire efforts repeatedly. We've seen how prolonged war has served Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's political survival. And yet, it is incredible for me to say this, but for the first time, people here really are giving themselves permission to hope.
NPR's Daniel Estrin reporting. A grand jury has indicted New York Attorney General Letitia James for alleged mortgage fraud. It's the latest case brought by federal prosecutors under Trump after Trump called the Department of Justice to target his perceived political enemies. As the government shutdown drags into the ninth day, some federal workers say they are tired of living under threat and are demanding more from Congress. From member station WAMU, Jenny Abamu has more.
Ian Morgan is a postdoctoral fellow at the National Institutes of Health in Maryland and the leader of a local federal worker union. He wants any budget deal to include protections for federal workers and the services they provide.
I mean, from my perspective, it feels like the federal government has in some ways been shut down for the past 9 months. And we've seen that where, at least where I work at the NIH, right? Early on, we weren't able to get supplies to do our work. It's frustrating to be at home and not being able to do that important work. I've also been kept from doing that for the past 9 months.
Morgan also wants Congress to guarantee back pay for federal contractors he works closely with, many of whom will not receive pay while the government is shut down. For NPR News, I'm Jenny Abemo.
This is NPR News. Federal regulators have opened another investigation into Tesla's self-driving technology after dozens of incidents where the vehicles ran red lights or drove on the wrong side of the road. The probe covers nearly 3 million vehicles, essentially all Teslas equipped with the technology. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it's gathered 58 incidents of Teslas breaking traffic laws while in the full self-driving mode. Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to block the $1.4 billion defamation judgment against him. NPR's Atovia Smith reports Jones' Infowar company is getting closer to being sold to pay the Sandy Hook families who sued Jones for spreading lies about the 2012 school shooting.
It's Jones's latest bid to hold on to the media company he founded some 25 years ago. The satirical site The Onion has already tried to buy InfoWars and is said to be still interested. Jones asked the Supreme Court to step in a month ago, but now his lawyers want the court to immediately block InfoWars from being bought and, quote, destroyed by its ideological nemesis. Jones argues he should not have been found liable for defamation by default for not cooperating at trial and that his First Amendment rights were violated. Lawyers for the Sandy Hook families previously dismissed Jones's arguments as a last gasp, but declined to comment on this latest request. Tovia Smith, NPR News.
Hungarian writer Laszlo Krasznahorkai won the Nobel Prize in Literature. His surreal novels combine a bleak worldview with dark humor. Judges said his works uphold the power of art in the midst of apocalyptic terror. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lemelson Foundation, working to harness the power of invention and innovation to accelerate climate action and improve lives around the world. Learn more at lemelson.org. This is NPR.
This is Kansas Public Radio. It's your place for jazz all night and NPR news at the top of every hour. I'm Tom Parkinson, your host. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to start this hour something from saxophonist Benny Golson. He enjoyed a long career playing, starting back in the early 50s, and playing with Tad Dameron, Lionel Hampton, Dizzy Gillespie, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers, and of course leading his own group, the Jazz Tet, with Art Farmer for many years, and passed away in 2024 at the age of 95, a composer of so many jazz standards like Killer Joe and Stablemates. I remember Clifford and Whisper Not. We're going to go now to an album that he recorded in 2004 with Eddie Henderson on trumpet, Mike LaDon on piano, Buster Williams and Carl Allen on bass and drums. And he does have a number of his own compositions on here, but we're going to listen to one written by Dave Brubeck, one of the loveliest melodies in jazz, in my opinion. In Your Own Sweet Way, from Benny Golson's album Terminal One, here on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.